Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is good, is he not? Well, welcome everyone in the name of Jesus. And again, the Lord has been faithful tonight in drawing us all together into fellowship and into the unity and oneness of his Spirit. And before we start, let us commit the word into the Lord's hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight again for our assembling together. Lord, we thank you that you have granted the unction of the Spirit in which to anoint your word, to speak to your sheep. And Father, we pray tonight that as we hear this word, we will mix faith with that which we hear. That we would above all not only be hearers, but doers also of the word. And grant above all, Father, that it may fall onto hearts that have been prepared, soft, open, yielded to receive the word tonight. And Lord, we thank you now for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I trust everyone can hear me okay. If we could have just a sign on this. Otherwise, I will just speak up a bit more. Yes, we're getting some yeses. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I want to share with you, and for those of you who take titles, we're calling this tonight, Preserved in a Fallen World. Preserved in a Fallen World. And if you will turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. We're going to base our teaching around this verse tonight. And it says here in verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we note here that the apostle speaks of the whole person. He says that they may be sanctified, that God may sanctify you completely, utterly, in other words, and that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we get an indication, an understanding of the idea of how God preserves and he keeps us. Not only does he preserve and keep us, but as I have stated in the title, he preserves and keeps us in a fallen world. And that is how God has purposed it, in saving and redeeming us. Sometimes we think, oh, it would be nice to be saved, confess Christ as your Savior, and then be raptured. But God has chosen in his infinite wisdom to save us, to fill us with his Spirit, to make us a new creation, but still remain in a fallen world with fallen conditions until he finally comes for us. And we well believe that we are the generation who is now looking up because our redemption draws nigh. We truly believe that the Lord's coming to take the church, the bride that is making herself ready, is imminent. It's not far away. And so the apostle speaks to the Thessalonian church, which is the church which was persecuted, a church in its time which was believing for the coming of Jesus. He says that God may preserve you blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that takes a work of grace for God to preserve and keep us in a fallen world with all the temptations that there are around. That is why in Nehemiah it speaks of that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And this is how he does it. And you know, we will know if we are preserved for eternity, if we persevere to the end. And that, of course, is predestination and election. We will know if we're called and we're preserved because we will stay with it and we will persevere to the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved, the Word of God says. And so we know that we're Christian because we find ourselves coming back for more. We find ourselves coming together just like tonight, listening to the Word, fellowshipping. All of these are wonderful signs indicating that we are called by God, and this is part of His way in which He is preserving us. And one of the wonderful ways that He preserves us is by the Word of God, by the Word that we take in, so that we walk by faith. But I'm going to look at that later on. Now, the Bible clearly shows how He preserves His elect in a fallen world. And I want us to look at some scriptures first before I open this up further. For example, in a lovely psalm that we know very well, in Psalm 121, I want to read this out, because in this psalm it speaks much about the preservation of God. In Psalm 121, and I will start from verse 1. Whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Are we noting here now this idea of being preserved and kept by God? He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. This is one of the greatest psalms filled with verses about the preservation of God, how He preserves and keeps us. That is, keeps His elect. The psalmist says that he lifts his eyes to the hills, that is, for worship. And he says he does that because his help comes from there. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's his acknowledgement of the great I am, the God who has created all things. And he says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. In other words, it means that God, in saving you, will keep you saved, keep you resolute, keep you in that place before him in relationship. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. So it means that God is ever attentive over us, as that wonderful parent, that father. We're always in his eye, in his sight. Never for one second are we out of his sight. Just like a mother who has a child, that mother with the child, particularly if she's out shopping or out in a busy area where there's traffic and lots of people, if she's a good mother, she's all the while keeping her eye on her child, keeping that child close to her, or holding the hand. So this is where we get the idea of our Heavenly Father, who does the same with us. He says, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So God remembers his covenant with his people, Israel. That is why God has not forsaken Israel, that Israel will be restored back in the last days. Here again we get this idea of even Israel being preserved, and is preserved to be a nation again in the last days. And in verse 5 he says, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. So it says that he keeps us, he guards us, he gives his angels charge over us. So again, we're getting this wonderful impression of God's preservation on our lives. And he says, even the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Well, if you live in a very hot climate, where temperatures go up to 40 and 50, you'll appreciate that. When you have to go out sometimes in very hot weather, it says even that sun will not smite you. You won't get sunstroke, providing we have to be sensible, of course. But it says God will preserve and keep one, even with the elements. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. What a wonderful promise. I had that one underlined. That is a great, great promise in the Word of God. And what an anchoring to our soul. What a confidence builder it is. How we can release faith and hold on to such a promise when God says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. It means that we are preserved, we are kept from the evil one. Even if he permits and allows the devil to buffet us for a season, God will still have the final say. Satan can do nothing unless God permits it. And we know that wonderful analogy of the book of Job. And maybe you're going through deep trials tonight. Maybe you're going through great temptations. But God may be allowing it for a reason, because he's always got a higher plan. But here is the promise of whatever you're going. God will preserve you from all evil. That is his promise. That is his preservation over our lives, brothers and sisters. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. He even gives his angels charge over us. Even when we're traveling, or we travel in cars, and it can be very dangerous at times traveling in cars. You may be a very good driver, but it's other drivers that are around you. But God says he will preserve our going out and our coming in. If God doesn't preserve us, brothers and sisters, he has no church. He has no remnant. He has no bride who will make herself ready. So let's take comfort in this tonight. We're preserved for his glory. We are his handiwork, being created in his image. Hallelujah. Then if we turn also to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, I'm still expounding to you from the scriptures about this idea of God preserving, keeping us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. 2 Timothy, wait a minute, I've got the wrong one, I think. Hang on. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, yes, I was right. 2 Timothy 4 verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Another tremendous promise in the Word of God that we can embrace and hold on to. That he says the Lord will deliver you from every evil work. Every evil thing that you have either gone through or will go through, whether it's what is being done to you, or lies, or gossip, or people trapping you in any way or form, God says that he will deliver you from every evil work and preserve you for his heavenly kingdom. So we get the idea again that God preserves us also for his kingdom, because if he doesn't do that, he'll have nobody in his kingdom. So we can really take great comfort in these wonderful scriptures. And that's why he says, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. God works with us to make sure that we persevere. God is so loving, so gracious, so great, that he'll even work with us, that we persevere, that we stay with it, so that we can not only embrace and claim these promises and enter into these promises, but eventually enter into the kingdom of God. And here we get the idea of this in Hebrews chapter 10, where God, he works with us to make sure that he preserves us in Hebrews 10. And we'll take it up from verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 onwards. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So again we get this idea that God is ever encouraging us, making sure that we are and will be preserved. He says, let us draw near with a full assurance of faith. For our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is God doing tonight? He's washing us. He's washing us by his word, by that anointing that he sets in the church, so that we can have a good conscience before God. That God works on our minds, that he's changing us, conforming us more and more into his image. And he says, with all that working he does in verse 23, let us hold fast our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This is why we say over and over again that these promises you can hold on to and confess, because God is faithful. He encourages us to do it. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and the good works, just like what we're doing tonight. We're all stirring up, encouraging one another. That's why we're here, in fellowship. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the apostle says, assemble together, because some are not assembling together as they should. But he exhorts them to do so, the same as I'm exhorting all of you to continue to assemble together. Because in doing this, this is God working with us to make sure that we are preserved to the end. This is his preservation work. Now, if God doesn't preserve us, if God doesn't preserve us, then I tell you what happened, brothers and sisters. Sin and the spirit of this age will destroy us. Because none of us will be able to walk this walk or overcome as we're overcoming unless God preserves us. Because sin in this world otherwise is too strong. And remember, until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, Satan is still the God of this world, blinding and deceiving. Now, God's work, as we're showing you, is continuous, because he upholds and sustains all by his hands. He not only upholds and sustains the Christian, which he has done right through the ages, he upholds and sustains a remnant that he has even unto this day. He upholds and sustains you and I. But not only that, he even upholds and sustains his creation. Everything that is created. And it's interesting that even though God ceased his creative work on the seventh day, when it's that God rest, however, he didn't cease from all his activity. Because God is still active, and we see how active he is through his Son, Jesus Christ. We see that when Jesus rose from the dead, his ministry was still active for 40 days. He was still seen and ministering. And not only then, when his ascension, where he was taken up into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father as an intercessor and mediator, we still see that he's active and everything he's doing is still in the nature and keeping. Hallelujah. And we get an indication of this if we turn to the book of Nehemiah. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The hosts of heaven worships you. And so there we see very clearly that God in his creation preserves it all. For what purpose? What is the purpose of God preserving everything plus his creation? It tells us here that it all worships you. So when you look up in the sky and you see all those stars and those galaxies worshipping God, when you see the seas and when you see the animals and you look out and you see those birds and everything, that is worshipping God. That is what he created for, even though it's fallen. And that is why you and I are here tonight. We're here because this meeting is to glorify and to worship Jesus. That is what it's for. And for in order for God to do that, he's got to preserve and keep it all. And so without his continuous work of preservation, we wouldn't continue to exist at all. You can read Psalm 104, and again you'll read in that psalm, you'll see about God's preservation, how he preserves and keeps everything. And so we're getting this idea then that God preserves the world. And not only does he preserve the world, but by what he's created in the world, creating the creation of this world, where he's put all the physical laws into being, that is the law of gravity. Because if we haven't got gravity, we're all going to float away. So gravity is a preservation over us. All the elements that we have, including rain, sun, oxygen, all of those things for us to survive and live, these are all to preserve us and to keep us, that we may be whole. And not only that, I have to say in passing, which is one of the great things we must never forget, the shedding of the blood of Christ is the greatest preservation we can have over us now, brothers and sisters, that has dealt with our sin and cast it away as far as the east is to the west. There again is God's provision through his Son. So God is still very active, still at work, preserving and keeping a people in a fallen world. Hallelujah. Praise his name. He even preserves us by the food that he gives us. We're preserved and kept because we have to sleep, and sleep is essential for building up of the body and the cells. And we even see in the scriptures that God even preserves the unregenerate. ignorant. He pours rain on the so God's mercy and love and grace and keeping. Why does he do this even on the unregenerate? So that some may be saved, that eyes may be opened. That is the extension that God will go to. And we're even preserved and kept through Christ. And I want us to look at this now in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 to 18. Colossians chapter 1 verses 13 to 18. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he was before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Again, here we're reminded of the preservation of Almighty God. Let's just again look at just some of this, to what he has said here. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us or conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son and his love. There's the preservation of God, preserving, keeping us, delivering us from darkness, so that we don't walk in the dark, we walk in the light. That is why I say, if we have sinned and fallen short, confess it. Don't wait. Wherever you are, turn away and confess that sin, that shortcoming, because that keeps you in the light and not to start to move into darkness. Because once you move into darkness, it's a downward slope. So that is very important for us. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, preservation again. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that ours. All things were created through God, as we see there. All the powers, principalities, and even those powers and principalities are in which to bring about his glory. That's why the apostle said that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Even evil things, even where we have fallen short, God, because he preserved us, even works through that to turn it together for good. This is why, brothers and sisters, God's hand over your life is such a bigger plan than we ever realize. This is why we have to become kingdom-minded. This is why God wants to start to open, now even in this life, the kingdom of heaven. Because it shows us the bigger plan. It begins to show us the greater picture of our God and what he's doing and what he will do. And it takes us off ourselves, our own trials and what we're going through. I'm convinced that some of the problems that we have in the church today, and a lot of Christians who suffer with depression and oppression, it's because they're so locked in themselves. But if we become kingdom-minded and start to look away from self and embrace Christ, and as you look away from yourself, then you don't become consumed in yourself and occupied in yourself.
one of the great things of the Christian gospel. We always say Satan is our worst enemy. I think self isn't far behind as well. So the good news is that we can turn away from self. And when you begin to feel yourself going down or feeling that depression coming on, just start to turn away and use those tongues and speak in the Spirit and raise those hands and start to look to the Lord Jesus, and he begins to open the bigger plan, the bigger picture. Because the plan over your life and my life and over the church and the bride that's making herself ready, the plan is so infinitely bigger. I often say to saints, when they're going through deep, deep trials, and I know some of you are, some of you who are in this room tonight are going through horrendous trials, but hold in there, because the plan that God is working through this is bigger than you can ever realize. Why? Because it's for his glory, and it reveals and shows how he preserves and keeps us. Hallelujah. Praise his name. And it says, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So everything consists in him. Everything you know, everything you see, everything you experience, every breath, every blinking of the eye that we make, everything is all in him. All things consist in him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So he's the forerunner. He's the one that's gone ahead. He's the new creation. And we're following likewise. But in order for that to be achieved, God has to preserve and keep us. So we have a tremendous preservation over us. We are guarded as God's priceless treasure. We're guarded day and night, every second, every moment. His angels are guarding over us all the time. And all God wants of you and I, brothers and sisters, is simply to believe that. Because as we start to believe these things, I tell you what is going to dissipate is fear. Because there's no fear in the perfect love of God. And whatever you face, whatever decision, whatever God requires of you, or whatever he wants you to do, you will be able to move fearlessly because you know you are preserved. And you are kept by Almighty God. And I'm convinced that is why the early church, they experienced that. And you know, God will even confirm that to you sometimes. He'll just even open your eyes to show you ministering spirits that are ministering, looking after you. I know brothers and sisters who have experienced and seen that. There's nothing unusual about that. I remember my mother, some years back, she went shopping in our local town, and she decided to go into a cafe and get a cup of tea. She was feeling rather thirsty, and there wasn't many people in this cafe, and she sat down, and she happened to look up, and there was a nice, rather elderly lady who came and sat opposite her. And my mother carried on just drinking her tea. And this lady had, she said, a lovely, lovely face, a lovely, kind, gentle face, who also had a cup of tea. She smiled at my mother and she said to my mother, "The Lord Jesus is coming soon." And my mother said, "Yes, amen, he is." And she put her cup down on the table in the saucer, and when she looked up, the person had gone. And she looked around to see if that person had quickly walked out the door or whatever. They couldn't have walked out that quick. And she came back and she related that to me. She said, the most strangest thing has happened to me. I said, there's nothing strange about that. I said, that was an angel that God came to confirm to you that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. So God can do it. Hallelujah. This is, and even our prayers are even preserved. All our prayers and intercessions come up before the throne of grace. They're there. You're praying, you're interceding. It's not in vain. If it's in faith, it is there before God. And God is going to answer those prayers, and does answer those prayers. And this is why I always say, brothers and sisters, and particularly when we come together for a prayer meeting, I often encourage the saints that before we've even prayed, before we've even opened our eyes, we've already won the victory. The battle's already won. We're simply praying, setting in motion that's already there and has been in eternity. That is why we pray in the Spirit. That is why we pray in tongues, because when you're praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, you are totally connected to the Spirit and praying what is already established. That is why tongues are so powerful, interceding in tongues. And this is why the devil holds so many Christians in bondage in this. The reason it's so powerful, because when you're praying in the Spirit, you are praying already the victory that's been accomplished and done. You're praying at that point in the Spirit the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. But you need to know the Word of God for this. This is why the Word has to be opened up to us, to show us these deeper truths. And that's why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. But how many churches really get into prayer and intercession? This is why the lot of the church is in such a state that it's in. And a lot of the praying that does go on is simply just their prayer lists. And sadly, the only way somebody comes off a prayer list at times is when they die. That isn't what Jesus meant. My house is a house of prayer. It's where we come, we intercede, you wait on God, you get in the Spirit, and then the Spirit will begin to move and burden you so that you can intercede and you can supplicate and you can birth through these things. Sometimes in our prayer meeting, God keeps us with a burden for several weeks. Every time we come together, we still stay with it and we press through until it's lifted. We don't know everything, but we know our prayers are preserved and they're before the throne of grace. They're there. And all we're simply to do is just wait and watch for the manifestation. Hallelujah. This is why God has set the gifts of the Holy Spirit into the church. What are the gifts again? They are to preserve the saints. And we see the nature of some of these gifts. The gifts of giving is a wonderful gift. Well, sometimes to give, to help out with a brother or sister or a family that's going through a difficult trial or financial trial, by giving or giving food, is that not helping to preserve and keep life? Or how about the gifts of healing and gifts of miracles? All of those gifts that God has set and is setting into the body of Christ is to preserve and keep us. So they should expect it and believe it. Hallelujah. And we hold on to these things. God has promised, as we're in the time of restoration, under the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, We're shown in Ephesians 4 that God is perfecting, bringing us into maturity, bringing us into ministry. These ministries, and the fivefold ministry, again, is so that we might be preserved as a remnant. None of these things are by mistake, brothers and sisters. Why is he preserving the church? Well, I'll tell you why he's preserving the church. Because out of the church, the bride is making herself ready. That is one of the good reasons why he's preserving the church, a remnant. Because out of the remnant, there are going to become overcomers, those that mature into full sonship. So again, that has to be preserved. We see this, of course, in Revelation 12. The man-child, the woman that gives birth to the man-child and is snatched and called away, the overcomers. And it says the woman who then flees into the wilderness, that is the woman, the church, is preserved and kept. So God still preserves and keeps even the church that has to sadly go through the great tribulation to be purged. All the while he's preserving. God, even God preserves his word. And there have been attempts right through history to destroy the word of God. The devil has been very, very active over history, trying to destroy the revelation of God's word. And remember that Israel was chosen out of all nations to be custodians of the revelation of Yahweh. But she even forsook her sonship. God has even given now to the church, the New Testament church, the revelation of God's word, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of the good news of the gospel. What for? So that saints will be preserved, that a seed will be preserved, that through her witnessing and evangelization there will be a preservation of souls being saved. All the while we see God is watching over his word, preserving his word. We see Moses, who's taken up onto Mount Sinai, given the Ten Commandments. And you know the story when he comes down and he sees them fornicating and in idolatrous worship and everything, and in anger and rage he throws down those tablets. What does God do? Because God's revelation is preserved, God brings him back up onto the mount again and gives it again. Here we see how God is always preserving. One of the great finds some years back, not so far back, was the Dead Sea Scrolls that were discovered. Again, we see these scrolls were preserved and kept in these clay pots, which the very early Christians did. Because they knew they were under persecution. They knew that the Romans were coming in, wiping out the villages, pillaging them, so that they would hide them, so that the word of God, the revelation of God's word, would be preserved and kept. This was a great confirmation to the world, how God preserves and keeps his word. And let's finally turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. God has declared that. He has spoken it. And whatever man tries to do to destroy the word of God, everything will wither and fade away, but the word of God will stand forever. The word of God that we preach, that we hold to, The Bibles you hold in your hand is an eternal revelation that will never be done away. Even in eternity, the Word of God will be there forever and ever and ever. And that's why we have to put Amen there. That is the gospel that we preach, brothers and sisters. And that is why, as I bring it to a close now, as the Word clearly says, that faith comes by hearing, and also reading this Word. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that is why we have been given the faith teaching for these last days, to believe, to hold on to the Word of God. Because by believing, holding on, embracing, confessing these promises, that is preservation over all of us. I praise the Lord. I've got an elderly mother who's going to be 93 this year. She's way over her allotted years, but I look at her and I see God is preserving and keeping her. And so He will do this. If we can believe, God says all things are possible. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, whatever the circumstances, however it looks, whatever the devil's suggesting and so on, you just confess, I am preserved and kept by God for His glory. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, that is the message I believe God has laid on my heart tonight to share with you, preserved in a fallen world.
Spirit carried to